Mr. McCaffrey.
What's going on, baby?
We are in a unique spot.
Love this place, man.
This place is it's pretty special, man.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing this podcast and where we wanted to do it. Where our studio is down for a little bit and we need to get one out. So decided to come here, right?
Martiri Family Arena has been a special place for us. I think beyond just the thing that you want to talk about today, it's been a place where you and I have come and had a lot of great conversations walking around up here.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful arena. I love the name, Martiri Family Arena. You know, it really is just a good, fun place to be.
Yeah. It's, to your point, it's been a tremendous place of for ideas and for growth to live free. So I kind of want to dive into that. When you joined Live Free in the official capacity, we'd done the youth sports thing, and then you had come and said, Dan, you know, Jerry reached out, talked about a 24-hour game.
Yeah.
With adults, ran with it, man. Tell me a little bit about that, man.
Yeah. I mean, when you have your kid involved in youth sports, you got to jump through some of the hoops. And one of the big hoops of hockey is you got to go to your uniform fitting. And one of the Wizards do their uniform fitting at Benson Ferguson's in Orange, Connecticut. And just on a random day, went there. You have like a week to get your uniform fitted. Walked in the door, bumped into a friend of mine that I coached with before, you know, coached alongside before, seen his kid play hockey. This guy, Jerry Tabella, he plays with my cousin, Chris. And we just did that thing where we doing the small talk while we were waiting in line for our kids to get fitted. And he started talking about the change that I had made in working with Live Free. And Chris had told him that I was the kind of guy that could take an idea and really make it happen. And he threw out the idea of a 24-hour hockey game. And I know I jumped at it.
So tell me why you jumped at it. I know, you know, personally, you shared your story with me a little bit, but maybe share with our audience about why hockey is so important to you. As we have the Zamboni drive, and maybe we'll...
Wow. So we're going to open the sound works here.
Right? Yeah, it's fine.
We'll work our magic through Adobe if we have to. I mean, hockey's interesting. It's a sport that I would say has really kind of been a part of my life for, you know, probably the last 8 to 10 years. You know, it's growing up in Massachusetts, like hockey's something that you just have. It's there. I was not a player. I went to probably one of the top prep school hockey, the top hockey prep schools in the area, and I was a skier, you know. So like, there was hockey was always something that we went to. You know, it was like when your fan base went somewhere to go cheer for something, hockey was what we did. You know, it wasn't football, it wasn't baseball. I always loved the game, but it really came about, you know, after Mia had passed away. We had been, prior to Mia passing away, when we were living in the city, we used to go to the outdoor rink down in Central Park. We went down there with her once and went skating. And, you know, it was something that she loved to do out there. And, you know, coming out of our experience, we looked at James, who, you know, 6 years old, like, buddy, we gotta keep moving forward. You know, what do you want to do? You know, let's do something new. So he wanted to go ice skating. So we went down to Wonderland of Ice, and he got into the Learn to Skate program there, and then quickly just started, like, I could still see him like putting his fingers up on the boards, looking up at all the kids that would come and play hockey after. And, you know, he wanted to play hockey, and, you know, at the time I really wanted to be involved and keep him close. So I being somebody who knows how to coach, I got involved in coaching right away. In order to get better at the game, I joined a men's developmental league.
That's great.
And
God bless you.
And
you had never played before that.
I mean, I'd be on pond hockey and stuff like that. Like, again, I've been skiing since I was real little. So I understood the ideas of edge work and stuff like that. And, I would say I picked up on it pretty quickly, but yeah, I never played organized hockey before.
It's great.
So I still remember the anxiety of joining that developmental men's league. I'm like, what am I getting into at this year? Like doing line drills and like learning how to go from edge to edge. And what happened there is that, you know, quickly got involved in that program. And then after that, they had, after the developmental league played, the hour slot after was a 40 plus pickup league. And I wasn't quite 40 yet, but I think my skills you and I've called, but they needed to. So I started doing that a little bit. And then, I could keep going. Like, and then I ended up meeting this guy, Bert Terranova, who I'd never met before, Trumbull dad. And he was starting a team. And he's like, do you have any guys that want to do it? And I grabbed Tony Valizza. And, you know, we grabbed a few other guys that I got to know around the rink. And we went for it. Now we play on a men's league team together. And you go from there. So, like, that's kind of my story with hockey. You know?
As an outsider that doesn't know anything about hockey, actually, I used to make fun of hockey because I didn't know anything about it. I will say one of the things that I'm most impressed about is the community around hockey. Touch on that a little bit.
I mean, I think, you know, anybody who's involved in any sports will feel community, I think, in the sports that they're involved in. I mean, you and I have played against each other in men's league softball, you know, before. And there's community there. Don't get me wrong. Like, those people.
Different, though.
It's totally different.
Totally different.
The community of hockey is, it's just vast. And maybe it's because of the area that we're in, you know, like this part of the United States. But it does seem to kind of transcend in other areas where there's ice, there's always hockey players. Like, there's always some, like, beer league that's going to be going on, some pickup that's going to be present that you can get involved in. Like, I could look up, like, a pickup and go play tonight somewhere, you know? Like, you know, we're here tonight at, I think, 8 o'clock, it says up there, the SCHL is playing here, you know? So, like, you know, there's men's league hockey that's going to take place here even tonight. So the community is huge.
Yeah.
There's so many people that play it. But, like, I think what really makes hockey special is, like, it is such an explosive sport. It's so fast moving that you're going to run into somebody. You're going to wrong somebody in the game at some point. And, you know, by the end, you know, you might be like chirping each other, wanting to fight, but you still shake hands at the end. And, you know, yeah, I mean, sometimes you carry that stuff over, but for the most part, everything's just left on the ice.
Yeah.
It's a release for everybody.
So going back to this 24-hour game, when you had come to me and you're like, Dan, I think this is it. Like, obviously, I want to be fully supportive. We had what we felt at the time was a very lofty goal of raising 90K. That was the number, right? It was like 90.
Yeah, we started with, like, we needed 60 players and $1,500 was what we were going to do. So 90K was the thing.
Yeah.
That's how we'll view this as a success, right?
And, you know, if I'm being honest with you, I mean, because I didn't know anything about it, didn't know if that was really attainable, but, like, you know, screw it, let's go for it. Let's take the risk. And wow, was I blown away. The total number was over $173,000 raised, which was great, right? And just because I'm leading with that does not mean that that was the most important.
Correct.
Because what I found was the stories that happened on the ice and after the ice. Touch on those a little bit, because you have some cool ones, man, especially with Corey and some of the other kids that participated.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Whenever you start something and you start sending ripples out, they start colliding with other ones, right? And you start to see, like, we have the reason why we start an event, and we know that the community is strong that's out there, but then other people have connections to it as well and reasons why they are going to get catalyzed by what it is that you're trying to do. And, you know, there's so many cool moments about the 24-hour game that came out, you know, and then just the communications with people after and even during, like, as the fundraising started, like, certain guys that really got behind it and why they got behind it was really cool, you know? You know, there were probably a conservative estimate, like, at least six people who had gone through cancer out there. You know, one of them was our oldest skater that was out there, you know, a guy that plays on my team who was out there, you know, after going through the treatments that he went through for the cancers that he had, and he would come out and he would play, you know. Like, I think the cool part of this is that we had tremendous connections and energy going from our interns that were involved in what we were.
And they did such a great job.
All the way through people who had never met us before, who were just blown away by the fact that,
yes,
like,
sir,
this was the first time we'd ever put on this event. Because I think you and I said the most successful element of this was that a majority of the people that participated in this and attended to watch hadn't were like, well, how many years have you been doing this? And I was like, this is number one, you know? And I think that's a tremendous compliment when you go into to running an event that, you know, when it's successful and you have no barometer for what it's supposed to look like, it just was love. Like, just went out there and put as much love as we could into what we did and received so much back.
Yeah. You know, and it wasn't just a fundraiser, which is, you know, my biggest thing is whenever you can touch on a bunch of different aspects of something, that's when you know that it's right. And in the moments of joy that we were able to fulfill out on the ice, we had two great influencers, Swaggy P and Brody True, came out, and they were tremendous. They did great. And then, you know, having the families, having some kids represented that were facing cancer, had just finished facing cancer, being out there on the ice and making those memories. And some of them will never forget it. I mean,
the coolest part of that whole thing, the opening showcase that we added to that, was that we already had 83 players that were here. And we had, you know, four refs that had shown up to start, or two refs that had shown up to start helping at the beginning. Then we had Swaggy and Brody in skates. Both of them had camera people that were in skates. We had, what was it, 8 kids that were down there, all in skates. You know, we had, you know, there were over 100 people on the ice to start this whole thing off and kick it off, with just so much energy, as, you know, 500 people were in the stands watching all of it. I mean, what an amazing way to kind of kick off something, you know, with almost 600 people being in one place for the one reason we were there.
Using their sport. And using sport to do good, man. And it's exactly what we're set out to do. So hockey, you know, obviously 24-hour game was super successful. Maybe we'll drop some info on the next one. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see how the rest of this goes. But
in the end, the video, the story that we tell about it now, again, when you start an event, you start explaining it to people. It takes sometimes a paragraph to do it.
Yeah.
Now it takes a sentence or two and some images to look at what we did. And we can already tell you that other venues have picked up on what we're doing, and they were not that Sacred Heart wasn't supportive, you know, but it was a harder sell to start with initially. Like, is this what we want to do?
They were the guinea pig.
Well, you know, whatever about this? Oh yeah, it's a really good suggestion. Let's do that. Let's do that. Now we just go to ones and we're like, this is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to impact your community. Look how it impacted this community. And it's like, yep. Okay, let's go. So 24-hour hockey is something that we're not just going to dip our toe in anymore. I think we're jumping in and we're going to taking it to different states, man. We're going to have a great time with it.
Go ahead, man. We're going to do it in Michigan.
Yeah.
We're going to do it in Michigan. It's going to be great.
I mean, we have some time in this podcast. Talk a little bit about why Michigan might be a good fit for us there. Because honestly, I do think 24-hour hockey helped us move into.
Oh yeah, you know, no doubt it definitely had an impact. So Courtney moved out to Michigan last year, right around this time last year.
Joy officer. Yep.
Yeah, and she, you know, she plays a very important role at Live Free, and she wanted to stay on, and I knew that she could do her job wherever she wanted to go. And so she moved out to Michigan, and because she knew, I joke around, and it may not even actually be a joke, but she knows more about Live Free than me. Mm. And it's like, if she's out there, why not try to grow what we're doing out there with Live Free? And one of the important things that she's doing is creating the relationships with hospitals out there. So I flew out to Michigan a few weeks, maybe about a month or two ago now, beginning of April. Flew out to Michigan to meet with her and to link up with the Children's Hospital, Michigan Children's Hospital of Detroit, to commit to helping 60 families out there, which is a really big deal. It's
amazing.
It's the first time since Yale and Connecticut Children's that we actually went out and committed to helping families. And the one out in Oakland, the Kaiser out in Oakland, was the first time that we went out and were like, hey, we'd like to help this amount of families. And so while I was there, just decided to try to make an appointment with the University of Michigan and Michigan State.
Well, I mean, to be transparent, we had some guys in the background that were like, hey, sure. Yost is a pretty cool place. You want to go check that out?
Shout out Cole Verner. Shout out to Cole.
You know, you may also want to go check out Michigan State.
Yeah.
Moon is a really cool venue as well.
And yeah.
So, but yes, I mean, you went there.
Yeah. So went there, had an appointment with Yost. They were about it. They were very interested in us doing it. And then also went over to Michigan State and did not have an appointment there. knocked on some doors, literally. Courtney and I literally knocked on doors, and we were let in. And once we pitched the idea with some evidence that it works, like, it was immediate. Yes, yes, we can do that here. So very excited. I mean, planning's going to start fairly soon. We got to get through a few of the summer things that we got to do. But very excited about that, because that has the potential. Those events out there, one happening in April, the other potentially August, we're still in the works with Yoast. But those two events out there have the potential to help those 60 families that we committed to right off the bat. That's it. Like, that'll
fund. And also do what we are all about doing, which is showing them that, you know, Live Free is about community, you know, and the community that we are trying to inspire is people recognizing the things that they do in their lives, the passions that they have in their lives, can be that platform of hope that we are trying to empower. And I think that that's not only committing to helping 60 families out there, but being able to commit to running major events there as well to build the community. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And, you know, as we're approaching on the 17 minutes, I will say, wow, what a perspective that has changed for me in hockey. It is, it's been tremendous. The community's been, great. You know, I told the guys, and I didn't say much at hockey, but I told them they put their bodies on the line for our mission, out there on the ice.
Yeah. And from it, we've yielded new relationships.
Yeah.
We've built connections with some of these guys that are going to help us execute some new events that we're going to do. We've also, you know, it gave us the fortitude to execute our first hockey camp. Yeah. It's just wrapped up. And, you know, we had 23 kids, you know, from ages 6 to 12 on the ice, and they raised over $17,000.
It's amazing stuff.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's great.
It's a great community.
So shout out to hockey. Shout out to Shu. Shout out to Martiri.
Yeah. Special place.
Yeah, man. Hockey's a special sport.
Yeah.
So. All right, brother.
And we're gonna be able to bring it to more people here at the end of March next week.
Let's go.
There. I'm a man.
All right. Later, brother.